if you're a human being, you know there's something wrong in the world, right? We can all agree with that. I don't think anybody would say, no, everything is perfect. If you say, is there something wrong in the world? Most people would answer, oh, yeah. Anybody that's got eyes can see. So here's what I wanted to talk about today, is why does humanity struggle to progress forward and achieve peace, right? Don't we all want peace in the world, right? We want to see good things done. And some have proposed solutions to achieve this utopia, right? We have this idea, well, the future is going to be like this, and they have a picture in their mind. Now, I have four solutions up here that have historically been proposed. One is scientific advancement. You know, if we could just advance scientifically, and there are good advancements. We've advanced in medicine and stuff like that. We've been able to fight cancer better, things of that nature. These are all good things. But what I want to talk about is, are they an answer to the ultimate solution to our human struggle? Science has advanced. Technology has advanced, yes? I mean, we can communicate so fast to millions of people only to find out maybe there's a lot of things we shouldn't say. Twitter, anybody? So we've advanced with all this technology, with the computers and everything, but it seems that every time we advance in something, it's like somebody's right there that wants to do evil, yeah? Every time you want to do something good for humanity, every time you want to move forward, let's progress forward, there's always somebody that messes it up for the rest of us, right? And so technology, that's great. We have the internet, we have computers and stuff. But now we also have cyberbullying, that bullies now can broadcast themselves and they can have hundreds of messages flood some poor teenage girl's screen, and then what? She ends up committing suicide. Cyberbullying. Identity theft. On a mass scale, before, people had to dig through your trash. You could just go, hey, you, get out of my rubbish. Right? You can't do that now. They can get online and then grab your identity. So it was meant for good, for education and everything, right? But you have people who will take it and use it for something evil, for something wrong. Another thing that has been proposed is to eliminate all religion. Think about the John Lennon song, Imagine, right? Imagine there's no God. Imagine there's no heaven, right? He said, oh, let's just get rid of religion. And there's a lot of people that still today believe that. In fact, there's many books that have been written on it. But I think any student in history would probably disagree with that, because in the mid-20th century, under atheistic state atheism, under communistic rule, both Stalin and Mao Zedong alone probably murdered 50 million people, not to mention Pol Pot and a number of other people. But basically, they outlawed religion. There was to be no religion. And really, in the Communist Manifesto and a lot of these writings, the solution was, well, let's kill these guys, right? They don't agree with us. They're in the way. We need to get rid of them. So atheism or getting rid of all religion, not necessarily the solution. How about improving education in the world economy? I mean, who's going to say no to that? That's good, right? I mean, we want to educate people. Again, positive. And we've been able to do a lot of good things. We feed the poor. We do a lot of good things as human beings, do we not? Christian or not? We do. We feed the hungry. We clothe the poor. We go dig wells in Africa, right? We have all these great, wonderful humanitarian things we do. We try and bring education and we try to improve people's economies. But again, let's go back to the overall solution. The thought was a few years ago that terrorism normally came from poor countries. So if we would, or less educated countries, so if we get in there and educate them, in a Western way, of course, if we educate them, and then we give them more money, or we allow them to rise up to out of their poverty, then we won't have as much terrorism. But actually, we found out that's not really true. In a Gallup survey, 132 countries were surveyed, and it's a little more complicated than that. Actually, those who were wealthy, the countries who were wealthy, they said they're happy, okay? But the countries where, the ones where they were the poorest, and what they would qualify as poor, they said their life was meaningful. Okay, so it's two different things. So happiness, you can be happy temporarily, but meaning in your life, that's a whole nother ballgame, right? That's the long view of life. Happiness comes and goes, but meaning can bring joy, and that's everlasting. Amen? You see what I'm talking about? So it's not, these are things that have been proposed, but when we dig deeper, we go, no, the problem is still there. The issue is still there. There's still something deep down within in us that's kind of broken. How do we fix it? How do we move forward, right? And I can give a lot of examples, but we don't have that much time today. Some say it's psychological, right? If everybody would be mentally healthy, it would be great. It's a good thing, right? Mental health is a good... yes, mental health is good. So you guys, I don't know. I don't know if it's good. It's good. It's a good thing, okay? But let's take another serious issue. There have been 11, 12, 13 mass shootings this year, right? A lot of the mass shooters and a lot of these guys who create this carnage, they've studied a lot of them. They have found that some of them did have some, what they would classically put in the book as a mental illness of some sorts. Most of them did not. Does that surprise you? Most of them were totally fine. You want to know what they found out, that most of these guys who created this carnage, you want to find out what their motives really were? I had to write this down. It was revenge, money, power, a sense of loyalty, and a desire to foment terror. There's people that just want to kill people. And it's quiet, right? And they all shared one thing. They all saw their problem, not on the inside, but the outside. It's everybody else's fault. It's not my fault. Now, when I read that, don't even think about the report, but doesn't that sound like something in the Bible we call sin? Right? So here's secular psychologists that are probably Freudian or Jungian, I don't know, but what they're doing is they're saying, man, these guys are normal. But what does it say about the rest of us? You hear what I'm saying? Because we don't want to believe that. We want an answer. It's guns. No, wait. No, it's mental illness. No, it's something. We want an answer that we can hold on to. But we don't want to be like, no, they were just normal people like us? What in the world? How could somebody do something like that, right? Well, that's what I want to talk to you about. Because we've tried all these other things for many, many years. And while there's good things that we've learned and stuff, we can progress technology, but we can't seem to progress morally. It's so hard to do the right thing, right? Romans chapter 7, why do I do what I don't want to do? The good I want to do, and then evil's right there beside me, right? Some people call it the doo-doo verse because it's just, why do I do this? But you know, it's the struggle inside, the sin nature within us. Now, I say sin nature, and people go, yeah, that's archaic. Some people would say that's a social construct from ancient times. But you know what? I think it's real. I think as I look at the world, the Bible, granted, it's more than twice as old as the Quran, and it has a lot of wisdom in it. And when it talks about the human nature, boy, it's spot on. It's spot on. It doesn't mean we're all bad or all evil, but we have that penchant to do wrong. Now, why is that even there? Why is that even there? Well, we go back to Genesis. And Genesis has the story of Adam and Eve, and some of you guys know the story, but basically, it's only two chapters. It almost sounds like a fairy tale, but it's not. But because it's so condensed, it almost sounds like it happened overnight. But God created what? Men and women. He created Adam, he created Eve. These are our ancestors. These are our parents. And they were given boundaries. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's in the garden. And when I look at that, I look, well, was it a tree? I mean, if you have a problem with a snake and a talking snake and a tree and whatever, okay. Let's just say basically maybe even if it wasn't a tree, it was a room. It was something that God had set aside for man, knowledge, but not yet. I want you to know this, but not yet in my time, right? But what did they do? There was a tempter that came along. We call him Satan or the devil, okay? Ignore whatever you see on TV because most of it's wrong. I mean, there's a show out called Lucifer. Come on. And what happens is he tempts and goes, you know what? He made you, but he doesn't want you to eat from that tree, or he doesn't want you to take from that vault. He doesn't want you to have that knowledge because you know what? He knows that you'll be like him. You'll be like God. You don't need God. You can be your own God. You can rule, right? So this is all, and I wonder, I mean, the way it reads, it's almost like, well, it just happened. You know, she went, she ate from the tree, and she's like, hey, Adam, how long did it really take? Did they mull it over? Did they think, shall we overthrow him? Shall we try? See, the history is much darker, I think, than it's even portrayed. And we're only given a couple chapters, right? But what happened is, you got to keep in mind, we were different back then. Humanity was different. The way we are now is not the way we are. We're at the beginning. We were not monkeys. I can talk to you about DNA and some other things later, but we were not monkeys. We were created by God. But we were created in a different way. We talked to him face to face. It said that Adam walked with God in the garden. Isn't that cool? Can you imagine talking with God face to face? Just having a cup of coffee, just like, you know, I don't know if they were drinking coffee back then, I don't know. But I would. I'd be like, okay, Lord, let's talk. Let's walk and talk. He walked in the garden and talked with God. I thought, man, what a connection. Why? Because we had within us this light. We were spiritually alive. This light was within us. That was the light of God. And so we could communicate with God one-on-one. Isn't that amazing? And they walked naked and they felt no shame. Today we're like, no, right? But back then, they didn't know. They didn't have that knowledge of good and evil. They didn't have shame back then. Wouldn't it be good just to get rid of all shame, yeah? But they didn't have it. And so they had it good, but then they listened to this bad advice. They decided, you know what? We could do better. We can do better. And again, the things I'm saying, keep in mind, I'm reading in between the lines of the scripture, okay? Okay, I'm trying to paint an image for you of most likely how that went down. But they went ahead and they betrayed God. They betrayed him. You ever been betrayed? Ever trusted somebody? Thought they were your friend? And then they betrayed you and you just went, whoa, did that just happen? That's what they did to God. Their own creator, give him a planet, I'll make all this stuff for you. Ever have your kids feel like, you know, ever feel, wow, they don't appreciate what you've given them, right? God gave them everything. God gave them everything. And he just wanted them to wait a little, you know, just wait a little bit, and I'll let you in on some of my other secrets, but they couldn't wait. And so we died that day. And let me explain what that means. And again, you can go into the book of Romans. It is thick with information, even though it's a small book. But we died in two ways. Let me explain. First, we were not designed to die. Did you know that? The human body, as it is now, a lot of researchers, they're looking at us going, well, all of a sudden we get to a point and there's this clock starts ticking down, we prepare to die. Doesn't make sense. Why are we designed this way? It's been a question. Doctors have been researching how to make us live longer. Because we look like we were possibly designed to live forever, but there's something in us that stops us. That's because that's a shadow of the original design within us, is that we were designed to live forever. We weren't supposed to die. But that was a warning. If you eat of this tree, you will surely die. Oh, why? I didn't die like right now. Yeah, but you will. You're going to have a limited time, and you will physically die because I'm not going to allow you, speaking as God, I'm not going to allow you to live in what you've done. You've corrupted some things. Here's the second way, and this is the most significant. We died on the inside. That light of God, what happens when the light goes out? It's dark. The light goes out, it's dark. So we call that today, the theologians will call it the sinful nature. Sin is a huge topic, but I want to try to help you to grasp it. Sin is not a thing. It's not just disobedience. Sin is actually the absence of something. It is the absence of the light of God within us. Sin's betrayal. Sin, the word means miss the mark. It's an archery term in Greek, but that doesn't really have the full meaning. The full meaning really is basically we want to be our own God, or we want to put things above God. The Bible calls it idolatry. And this is what frustrates us as a human race, because we keep trying to do it on our own. We won't ask for help. But you know what? I bet you if we asked for help, he would say, okay. In fact, he did. People would call out to him. That's why Jesus came. Because he knew there would be no human solution to this problem that we have. But what if there was a non-human solution? What if God himself would come and he would give us a way? Yeah? Make sense? So let's look at that. This is the next stanza. It says, the thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morning. So, you know, after thousands of years or however long we've been on earth, aren't we kind of tired of doing the same thing over and over again? Right? Isn't that insanity? Do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, right? We're trying all these things. Oh, Lord, oh. A new and glorious morning. There is something brand new on the horizon. Jesus is going to come to earth. The light of God is going to come. John 1, 9 through 12 says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. So Jesus pre-existed before he came in human flesh. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Amen? Isn't that good? So we messed up. The light went out. We prayed. We waited. The light came. And he died on the cross for us, paid the price for our tyranny, really, against heaven. And he said, that's forgiveness. And you think, well, you know, they sin, but why does it come down to us? Gang, we inherit it. If you just look at your kids. Now, I'm not saying kids they're awesome, right? But as they grow older, they begin to challenge your authority, right? And you guys got teenagers? So as my kids got older, there was a little bit of pushback. Oh, he doesn't know everything. You don't know. I'm going to do this anyways, right? So there's a little pushback. And we can see traces. We can see evidences of this issue, the sin nature, in us, even in our kids. Not that we're not capable of doing good, but that's not enough. We need the light of God to come on inside again so we can live for Him. And then we can be that world that He was originally wanting, paradise restored. We can be part of what He calls the kingdom of God. Now here's the problem though. Not everybody accepts the light. Not everybody's into Jesus. Some people are like, I don't need Jesus, right? I'm going to find my own way. But they want to be good. Oz Guinness, who is a theologian and a Christian philosopher, calls this a cut flower effect, and I wanted to kind of explain this to you again. Won't take too long. The cut flower effect is trying to be good without God, right? Can you be good without God? Well, I think you could do positive things. I think that there are people that have done good. But have they really done good without God just because they don't acknowledge God? God blesses, God works through people even though they don't acknowledge Him. Did you know that? King Cyrus in the Old Testament. God will use you even if you don't follow Him, but that doesn't guarantee that you're a child of God or that you're His, because you've got to acknowledge Him yourself. That makes sense? The reason there is people in the world doing good is because the Holy Spirit is still here in the world. If God took His Spirit completely off of the face of the earth, we'd be in the conditions before the flood. We would be in a lot of trouble. But there are people that follow the darkness, and there are people that follow the light, and that's why we have that conflict. Make sense? The cut flower effect is this. Flower is beautiful, right? People want to be like that flower. They want their culture, their society around them. So many people, they want the beauty. We just need to be a beautiful flower and smell good. But here's the problem. They don't want the source. They don't want God. And so they cut the stem. What happens when you cut the stem of a flower? It dies. It dies. Well, why does it die? Because it's not getting what? Nutrients, right? It looks pretty for a little while. It seems pretty, smells good, you know, hanging up in your door, right? That's what happens to our lays. They go on the doorknob, another one on the doorknob, one another one on the doorknob, right? After a while, the lays start to flake away and dry off. And are you going to throw it in the trash? Yeah, tomorrow. Then a couple of weeks go by, and you're like, oh, you know, can you get rid of that? The stink. Okay. It begins to smell. So sure, temporarily, we can seem like we're doing okay. But long term, no. We've cut ourselves off from the source. Jesus explained it this way, and I'll close with this. How many of you guys know the parable of the sower? It's in Mark chapter 4, if you ever want to read it. Jesus talks about it like this. He said, people who hear the gospel and how they respond, it's kind of like this. It's a sower who sows seed. Some of it hits the hard ground. Some of it hits rocky, shallow soil. Some of it hits thorny soil, and some hits the good soil. The one that hits the good soil is the one that grows. The one that hits the thorny soil gets choked out by the thorns. And the one that hits the shallow soil, well, it doesn't last very long. The hard soil just bounces off. Now, what are these soils? These soils are the way people respond to God. One is it's hard. So what is hard? When your heart is hard, what? Message goes, boink, bounces right off. Right? Not open to receive. Okay, all right. What about goes into the shallow, rocky soil? When it's shallow, well, the message kind of sinks in. Well, that's, Jesus is cool. Yeah, That's good, but the moment any kind of hardship comes into your life, you're like, oh, I'm done with this. I tried Christianity. And so that's the shallow soil, and there you're moving on. Now, the thorny soil goes in a little bit deeper. It actually begins to grow just a little bit, but then all the cares of this life, I mean, other things, whether it's money, maybe it's certain relationships or things that you're doing that are outside the will of God, and you just go, I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet to give this up. I'm not ready yet to give that up, even though it's God's will for me. I don't want to give this up, or I don't want to give that up. And so those extra things, those things outside the will of God, they choke out the light. They choke out the message. so it can't grow. But the people who say, I'm yours, body, mind, soul. I give my body, my mind, my heart to you. Lord, I'm tired of doing this. I have messed up. I'm tired of trying this over and over again. I've read the self-help stuff. I've read this, done this, tried that. I just want somebody in my life I can trust. I just want somebody that will be in my corner. I just want somebody that will love me for me. And God says, come. Be rooted in me, my son, my daughter. Be rooted in me. Just follow me. Just obey. Simply, humbly, just obey. And I'll bless you. I'll make you grow. My light will come into you and you will grow and you will bear fruit 30, 60, 100 times. That's what it says in the scripture. You see, gang, the fruit of the spiritual life is rooted in obedience to Christ. We want blessings, but we need to follow him. Amen. Now, none of us is perfect. We're messing up, but when you mess up, say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me, right? And you move forward. But if you want to play games like these other soils, like, oh, I don't know, I'm not ready. Well, I'll do this for God, but I don't, you know, God doesn't want sacrifice, just obedience, you know? And the cool thing is, you don't even have to do that on your own. He will get, when the light comes on inside, you all of a sudden have this freedom that you didn't have before. The shackles come off. You can make good choices, maybe that you had a harder time making before in your life. All of a sudden you have this power and you have a desire more than ever to want to obey. You want to do it. This is crazy. Why do I feel like this? That's called the Holy Spirit. You've invited God, the third person of Trinity, into your life. He has brought his light in. His light is in you, and he's helping you to grow. And as you continue reading his word, as you continue in prayer, he's going to grow you, gang. That's the problem, and that's what sin is. That's what sin does. But Jesus is the solution, and this is how he does it. Amen? Is that helpful? I know it's kind of a lot to throw on you on a Sunday morning, but hopefully that will help you also in getting into the Word and be able to share with your friends too. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. We bless you. And God, none of us here are perfect. We all mess up. And we still have this thing the Bible calls the flesh. You know, this, we're in this imperfect body and we have desires and things. But God, Lord, you are so powerful. If we would just take one little tiny step, you take 10 towards us. And I pray for every person here, Lord, those that are struggling, those that, wherever they're at, if they not yet made that decision, maybe they're like one of the soils, that you continue to minister to their heart, or maybe they've received you, they're growing, but maybe they're unsure, they're struggling. Lord, I just pray that you would fill them with your joy this morning. You'd fill them with your love, Lord God. Truly, Lord, there is no one like you. And I just want to pray this prayer. And if this is you, you don't need to raise your hand or anything, but just pray this along with me. If this is you, if you're saying, you know what you said rings true. I'm tired of doing this halfway. I want God's light in my life. I want to invite him into my life. Do this. Just pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Please come into my life. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, I invite your light to shine within me. Help me, Lord, to be bold, that the light that shines in me, that I could shine it for others to see. And Lord, when I'm feeling down and I'm feeling beat up by the world, that I can look to you and I can know beyond a doubt, you are my Savior. Thank you for coming into my life. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your light. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys all have a wonderful week.